Well, welcome back to iFaith, the second of two from the book of Romans. Last time, our message was called the inoculation, because what Paul was trying to do was to make sure that the Romans were protected against the false teaching that was messing up Galatia, the teaching that we should combine the old and new covenant somehow, the law of Moses and the gospel, which you can't do that. That's not right. And Paul is concerned, probably because Rome is the most influential city. And so, not surprisingly, in the Mediterranean, in the Roman Empire, Rome would have a very key role in influencing other cities. Rome at this time was around 1 million people. Alexandria, maybe 500,000 in Egypt. And then you have Antioch and Ephesus and other cities in the hundreds of thousands. But Rome was key. And Paul certainly didn't want the Roman church to split or the Christian movement to split. His theme text, The Righteous Will Live by Faith, comes from Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk is prophesying around 600 years before Christ, as the Babylonians are the ruling empire. And Paul in Romans, throughout Romans, explains that faith means living faithfully. Now, I gave some practical suggestions, consciousness of God, connecting with God as often as we can, and that will help us to want to communicate the Lord to others. And in accordance with Paul's style, Romans begins with a theology, and that's chapters 1 to 11, and then you've got more the lifestyle, starting in chapter 12. It's a very common pattern in his letters. He would do the theology first, and then the application. So that's what we learned last time. He's trying to inoculate the Romans against something really bad, which is already happening in other places. And this, by the way, friends, if this is going on in the time when the apostles are still alive, are we surprised that the church took wrong turns in the centuries afterwards, or that that continues to happen today? We shouldn't be. We'll be looking at part of chapter 15. So we're near the end of Romans, and as promised, today we're focusing less on his theological purpose and more on his missionary purpose. We read in 15:19, "So from Jerusalem all the way round to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation." Paul explains that he's preached from Jerusalem all the way to Illyricum. Illyricum, well, that's if you were going anti-clockwise, counterclockwise around the Mediterranean, you would go up the coast from Israel, you go through Syria, and eventually, after you went past Asia Minor, modern Greece, modern Turkey, and then you would go to Greece and in the general area of Yugoslavia. Paul has covered a lot of ground in the northeast Mediterranean. So Israel, Syria, Turkey, Greece, and the islands in that part of the world. Now, what Paul is proposing to do is now to go west. So he's focused in the northeast quadrant of the Mediterranean. Now he wants to go to the northwest quadrant, and he'll start with Italy. He'll go to Rome, and then probably France, you know, Gaul, and then eventually he'll go to Spain, which was viewed as almost the farthest away you could get. So he's going to focus on the northwest in his remaining years. Interestingly, he never talks about the southwest or the southeast, you know, places what we would see today as Morocco, Algeria, Tunisia, Libya, Egypt, even Egypt, which contained Alexandria, the second largest city. That, amazingly, it's referred to in the New Testament, but we never read about a church being planted there. Traditionally, Mark did it, and I think there's good reason to believe that's probably what happened in about the year 42 AD. But here we have Paul, and this we're getting close to, this is in the late 50s AD, and he is proposing to go west. All right, so he's in the east, northeast, he's going to go west. And he's going to do it by going through Rome. Now, that will give him an opportunity to follow up on his teaching before to make sure things are good. But also, as he says in chapter 1, I just want time with you. I want us to be able to mutually encourage each other. Let's continue in 15:23. But now there is no more place for me to work in these regions, since I have been longing for many years to visit you. I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to see you while passing through and to have you assist me on my journey there, after I have enjoyed your company for a while. He's not shy about asking for help, is he? He's not commanding it, but he's saying, I hope that you'll help me, you'll assist me on my journey. He's talking about support. For now, however, I am on my way to Jerusalem. So when Paul is writing Romans, he's actually on the way to Jerusalem. There's a famine. People will be starving, and the Gentile churches have collected money so that in Judea, the Jews will be able to find relief from the famine, and that the Christians won't starve. So he says, on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the Lord's people there. For Macedonia and Achaia, this is like the upper and lower parts of Greece, where he had just been, they were pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the Lord's people in Jerusalem. So after I have completed this task and have made sure that they have received this contribution, I will go to Spain and visit you on the way. Okay, that's our scripture. So again, he's going to go to Spain. He's going to go via Rome, and he's hoping that Rome will assist him. Because to travel today, as back then, that takes money. And he doesn't need a lot of money because he didn't demand to stay in palaces. He was just as likely to stay in a private home or sometimes in a prison. So what do we learn from Paul here? And as we look at his life and this passage from Romans 15:23-28, well, there are a few things I see, and they strike me. One is this man was passionate to share the gospel with others. Are you? Am I? Am I too busy to share the gospel? Of course, I understand it's important, but is this in my heart? Am I living by faith? Am I being faithful to Jesus's mission, commission? Second, there's a great sense of accomplishment. Paul was self-disciplined, and he would start something, and he would finish it. He would commence, and he would complete. He wasn't like the sluggard putting his hand into the bowl, but he's too lazy to bring it up to put the food in his mouth. No, he finished. He was disciplined. And he was that way before he was a Christian. Not surprisingly, he was just as passionate as a Christian. He mentions that in Galatians 1. So he's passionate to share the gospel. He's a one who lives to accomplish things. He doesn't just sit down in a cave and meditate and, you know, try to become one with the universe. This is not some mystical Eastern Paul. Paul is a man of the people, and he's always with people. He cares about people, and he realizes that unless we have some direction, some kind of goal here, then large parts of the world will not hear the gospel. Thirdly, I see financial integrity. I never noticed this until I was preparing this message earlier today. See, he's going to Jerusalem, and he's bringing this contribution. This would be coins. Lots of denarii or drachmas. He's bringing, who knows, the equivalent of thousands or tens of thousands of dollars or hundreds of thousands. He's bringing money. I hope he wouldn't be robbed. But he's bringing the money. Probably he has brothers with him traveling. But he's bringing the money back to Jerusalem. And there the leaders will be able to use it wisely to help the famine that was predicted, the famine that would be starving many Christians in Judea. So why do I say financial integrity? Because he's got the money. He's not dipping in. He's not reaching in to that contribution saying, well, you know, I need to have a good dinner too. I'm starving. Or, Yeah, I need this for my support. It seems that he's delivering the entire gift there. Not only that, we know that Paul didn't live a rich kind of life. He was comfortable with much. He was also comfortable with little. But he did not demand honors and privilege and comfort and luxury. That's what the false teachers expected, not Paul. So we see great financial integrity. He didn't want to waste the money. And here, he wasn't even borrowing from the money. I mean, he could have taken some of that and used that to go to Spain. But no, that would be inappropriate. And the last thing I see is this man is always pushing forward. So he accomplishes a lot. Well, because he has discipline, he's got passion, he's got integrity. But he's not satisfied. He's never going to just stop. He's always pushing forward. Sometimes he stays in a city for a few months or maybe a couple years. But normally he just keeps pushing on. Do we do that? Or am I one of those people who begins a project and then forgets I was even doing it? And now I can't even remember what I did. Are we that way when we read a book? Do we start? Do we get lost in the middle? Do we stop reading? Do we actually complete? Because many people I talk to, they start reading a book, but they don't normally finish reading it. Seems crazy. Are we like Paul in this way? Jesus, too, was very driven. He had a sense of discipline. He had that kind of self-control and love for the Father that kept him going. Well, it's time to conclude. Now, I called this message The Destination. And the question would be, well, what was actually Paul's destination? Was it Spain? Sure, he was going to Spain, yes and no. Actually, he would go to Rome, then Spain, and eventually Rome again. He had the chance to start churches on the island of Crete and other places because he ended up being imprisoned in Rome, and then he was released. This is in the time of the crazy Emperor Nero, and he had more missionary activity. We know this. Look at the end of Acts and then read Titus and 1 and 2 Timothy. So he was going to Spain by way of Rome. So in a way, Rome was his destination, but his real destination was Spain. But actually, he would be back in Rome again, where he would be executed. He would be beheaded in the time of Nero, near the end of Nero's reign. And yet, we know what explains Paul's travels, his motivation, what explains his effectiveness. He understood what the true destination was. The true destination was not Rome or Spain. It was to be at home with the Lord. It was really all about God. Next time, in message number 24, we'll be going to the Old Testament for a short interlude on the book of Psalms and our spiritual lives. After that, we'll return to the New Testament and look at the writings of Luke, that is, the books of Luke and Acts. Thank you for being part of iFaith. Tell your friends. The material is completely free. And particularly if you need the bigger picture of the Bible and you want to understand what each book is about, this could be a good program for you.